Hi, guys. I'm Melanie. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I'm extremely nervous. This completely caught me by surprise. I'm definitely not prepared, which I shouldn't be anyways. But, yeah, I'm hoping that whatever I say just kind of comes out and flows the way it's supposed to. But my sobriety date is January 1st, 2010. I just have, just over 8 months. I have a sponsor. She has a sponsor as well, and family tree goes back. And I have two home groups, this one and a women's meeting out in Brandon, which is where I live now. I guess so, what it was like. I guess I'll start with where I grew up. I grew up in California, Northern California. I grew up in this little small town called Milpitas, which is like really just near San Francisco. It's like 45 minutes away from San Francisco. So I grew up there. I remember growing up, I always felt I felt like an outsider. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, and I'm sure a lot of people felt that way that aren't alcoholics, that are completely normal. But I did always feel kind of out of place, and my parents fought a lot. My dad has substance abuse problems, and I'm not saying any of those things are why I'm an alcoholic. Those are just, that's just part of where I grew up. I'm an alcoholic because I have an obsession of craving, and once I put alcohol in my body, I don't stop drinking. It's definitely not related to my parents, or, that's not why, I'm not blaming them at all for why I'm an alcoholic. But, I grew up in, relatively small town, and I guess to, go to where my first drink was, I didn't even start drinking until I was in college. I didn't have a first drink until I was 18, which, I thought for a long time was a reason why, I talked myself out of being an alcoholic, because I didn't take my first drink until I was 18. I was like, I've gone that long, there's no way I could be an alcoholic. And I think the reason that maybe I did that was because I saw the carnage that, was my family, like there were fights all the time, there was abuse, it was insanity in my household when I grew up. And I thought that I could escape that by being completely straight-laced. And so when I was, ever since I was a child up until, I guess, I was in college, I got straight A's. I was always on the honor roll. I was always involved in extracurricular activities. And I did everything I could to, make myself, not a part of the chaos that was in my household. And, and I always told myself that I will never be like that. I was like, I'll never be an alcoholic. I'll never have substance abuse problems. Like, that is not me. I'm too good. I'm a goody two-shoe. Like, there's nothing's going to happen. And I remember even in middle school, like, some popular girls came up to me and asked me to go hang out with them and drink. And I remember saying no. I remember even turning it down at that age. But, once I got into college, a few friends that I did have, I never had a lot of friends, because I always felt so much like an outsider, and I felt really isolated, so I didn't open up to a whole lot of people. But my best, five or six friends all went off to college, and I was left alone, like, in Milpitas, in this little small town. So I ended up going to a university, which was, like, 20 minutes away from my house, right out of high school. And I remember at the time, I remember feeling so alone and so depressed. And I remember one night I had a boyfriend at the time, and so I was at his dorm room. He lived on campus, and my first drink was a bunch of his roommates were getting ready to go out, and a couple of their girlfriends were there, and we were all hanging out. And they were like, "Hey, do you want a beer? Do you want anything?" And I was like, "Oh no, I'm not really a drinker. I've never really had anything to drink." And that stopped them in their tracks. Like, they all suddenly stopped, and they looked at me and they said, "You've never had any alcohol." So, of course they poured me, my first shot of tequila, which was my first consumption of alcohol, and they poured it in this huge Dixie cup. So it was probably way more than a shot. But I remember they all, like, crowded around me, and they're like, "We're gonna watch you take your first shot of alcohol. Like, this is awesome." And I remember thinking, like, all right, I guess I'm 18. I might as well start drinking. I didn't really have the desire to drink, but I had the desire to fit in. And so I remember I was sitting on the couch, and everyone was, like, crowded around me, and they were, like, waiting in anticipation. And So I took this shot, you know, and I was telling myself the whole time, I was like, you got to take it like a pro, like, don't make, you know, don't look like a wuss. And so I took this shot of alcohol, and everyone just started, like, clapping, and they went, like, hysterical. And, you know, I don't know if I got drunk that night. I think I had a few more shots, and, like, that was really all that happened. But I remember immediately feeling a sense of camaraderie, you know, with my drinking buddies. Like, I remember immediately feeling like, this is what I need to do to fit in. And I don't remember the first time I got drunk, but I remember that ever since I took that first shot of alcohol, my drinking behavior was to get drunk. I remember, you know, ever since I started, that same boyfriend that first, you know, introduced me to alcohol, like, within the first 2 weeks of that first taste, he was already telling me, I don't like it when you drink. And I had no idea why. You know, I was like, why? We're all having a good time. But he told me, because when you drink, you don't stop. You don't stop. You can't have a couple. And I remember thinking in my head, I don't know if I said it out loud, but I remember thinking, who only has a couple? Like, what is the point of only having a couple of beers? Like, what is the point of, you know, if you have this amazing substance that will help you not feel anything or feel numb, like, why would you not want to consume it excessively? of course. And, you know, needless to say, you know, that boyfriend and I ended up breaking up. I remember I would break into his dorm room when no one was around so that I could, like, drink his alcohol and, you know, and just stuff like that. Like, I would bring my girlfriends around. I'd be like, oh, okay, let's go drink it, you know, this place. And none of them would really be interested in it, but I would. And that's all that really mattered to me. And that's kind of how life just went on. For a while, for a couple of years, like, consequences were just, you know, I would black out, and I thought blacking out was normal. I had no idea that, you know, blacking out in the beginning of a party and then coming to, you know, like, you know, in the middle or end, and having, like, bits and pieces of information sporadically through my night was, I didn't think anything was wrong, you know, if that happening. If anything, I thought it was kind of neat, because then the next day all of my friends would be like, can you remember what you did? And, you know, they'd be telling me stories, and I just thought it was hilarious. And, you know, some of them did too, some of them didn't, but I guess it was really just depending on what I did. I did have a, you know, eventually though, things started to get a lot worse. I was drinking one night, you know, in San Francisco with a few friends, and this was before I was 21, so we got in there, and I didn't even have a fake ID. I just went in there, and I remember blurting out, you know, after I was profusely drunk, I remember blurting out to the bartender, like, I was like, I should come back here for my birthday, and he was like, how old are you going to be? And I was like, 21, and he was like, leave. So immediately I had to leave, and I remember just not really even caring that I had to leave, and, like, I remember running out in the middle of the street to go to the car, because our car was parked across the street, and I remember just bolting out in the middle of the street in San Francisco, and I was hit by a car. Thank God, I didn't break any bones. Like, my right ankle swelled up to, like, the size of a grapefruit for a month, but other than that, like, I was completely unscathed, and I didn't have to go to jail. I didn't have any consequences. I just went home. And that didn't faze me either. I thought that was actually really hilarious. And I remember telling everybody I could about what happened. And a lot of them just kind of, you know, I can see now, you know, how most people weren't really impressed with it. But at the time, I thought it was something to definitely talk about. And, you know, so things like that just kind of started happening. But I definitely was completely oblivious to everything. And my... you know, later on, what really progressed my drinking was the death of my younger brother. My brother was, like, 2 years younger than me, and he ended up dying in 2008 of October. He died in, like, a car accident. He was sober. He didn't, you know, party really that hard or anything, and it was just a freak accident. Like, the car flipped, and he died, and I could not cope whatsoever with that. I remember... I was never a religious person. Like, I was always the intellectual who would, you know, bash God any chance I could. And I became so completely closed off at that point. Like, after he died, that was it. Like, I was emotionless. Like, I felt nothing, and I didn't want to feel any ounce of anything that I could feel. So I remember I would wake up every day, and I would drink. And that was the first time I started drinking every day. I hadn't really done that before. And I remember making this pact, you know, with my friends, like, a long time ago, saying, you know, well, we can't do this and this and this, because if we do, we'll be alcoholics. So, like, one of our rules was never drinking alone, which I I did all the time before that. And then our other rule was drinking daily. And that's when I started drinking daily for a period. I stopped drinking daily for a little while afterwards. But for a good month, I drank every day. Okay, so I'll rush this up because I don't want to get a complete drunk log. But regardless, I ended up, after that, I wanted a geographic fix. So I thought, you know, what better move to, you know, than move 3,000 miles away from my home, my family, and move to Florida. I had another boyfriend by then, and he is from Florida. So he offered to move out, you know, see something new, and I jumped on the opportunity. So I came out here last July, and then I was completely isolated. You know, I had no drinking buddies. Like, all of my friends that I made were completely gone. My boyfriend at that time, you know, didn't really want a whole lot to do with me because I became, like, really obsessively clingy, you know, and I was expecting him to fix all of my problems. Like, I was expecting him to fill that hole, that emptiness that I had, and, you know, nothing would. And after my last drunk, I got really violent, and I started going into rages, like, uncontrollable rages all the time. And after that, you know, I kind of had an ultimatum. You know, my boyfriend ended up calling my parents, let them know what was going on, and they pled with me. You know, my mom, I remember I was, like, bawling on the phone because I couldn't control my life. And she was like, well, you know, why don't you try Alcoholics Anonymous? And I was, like, I was bawling. My eyes were swollen and red. And she said, why don't you try Alcoholics Anonymous? And I started laughing. You know, I burst out into laughter. And I was like, Mom. Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics, you know, and I remember saying exactly just that, and she's like, well, why don't you try it anyways? And so I figured I was just going to go to, I figured I just had all these problems, and I needed to solve them, and once I solved the problems, my drinking would be fine. So I called all of these therapists, because I just wanted to go to therapy instead of AA. I called, I remember, like, 5 therapists, and I've never once not had a therapist call me back. None of them did. none of them did, which I think is just the really neat God thing. So I came into AA, and ever since I've come into AA, my life has drastically improved. You know, I'm on my own. Like, I have my, for the first time ever, I live by myself, which I never ever would have had the courage or the strength or the means to do had I not had, you know, strong program backing me. I have an amazing sponsor who helps me. You know, she's walking me through the steps. I'm currently on my 9th step right now. And I have one of the most important things I have now is I have a connection with God. And even being able to say I have a connection with God is amazing, you know, because 8 months ago, I would have laughed if somebody had told me that. And that is just completely priceless to me. You know, I'm able to talk to God all the time, and that's amazing to me that I can manage my life. You know, I'm not an angry person anymore most of the time. You know, and life is manageable. Like, little things are manageable, big things are manageable. Like, no matter what happens, I know I'm going to get through it. And, you know, and now I have a great network of friends in my life. You know, I have people who care about me, who, you know, I like to spend time with, who, you know, our friendships are based on more than just drinking, you know. I mean, it's really amazing, and for that I'm really thankful to be here, and I'm glad that you guys had me speak, even though I was terrified about 5 minutes ago. So that's all I really have. Thank you.